Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, here we are again on Circles of Change, and frequent listeners know I often reference that we should focus on the F's to get an A, particularly when we are in transition, and those F's are your faith, your family, your friends, your food, your fitness, and your focus on others. So it's a real pleasure always to host someone from the medical community to can help us think through that whole health, body, mind, wellness perspective. No better choice than Dr. Gary Small from UCLA. Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Thanks. Great. And a second-time visitor on our show. Thank you again for giving us our time.
My pleasure.
Good. Well, let me introduce Gary. He's a professor of psychiatry at the UCLA Semmel Institute for Neuroscience and Human Behavior. He's also director of the UCLA Longevity Center, conducting leading-edge memory and aging research. Gary is one of the world's leading experts on brain science and has published numerous books and over 500 scientific works, many of which he's won multiple awards for. Back in 2010, we featured his book, iBrain, Surviving the Technological Alteration of the Modern Mind, and it's a very valuable roadmap for us to stay on track during this current evolution of the brain, and I said back then, a book about our brains that should make us think twice. Well, among Gary's numerous breakthrough research studies, he now leads a team of neuroscientists who are demonstrating that exposure to computer technology causes rapid and profound changes in brain neurocentricity. Scientific American magazine named Dr. Small one of the world's top innovators in science and technology, and he frequently appears on the Today Show, The Good Morning America, 2020, and CNN, and he's invented the first brain scan that allows doctors to see physical evidence of brain aging and the Alzheimer's disease in living people. So Gary is here today to discuss now his new book that was co-authored with his wife, Gigi Vorgan. It's called The Alzheimer's Prevention Program, Keep Your Brain Healthy for the Rest of Your Life. And it describes the latest research and a lifestyle program for all of us that can delay the onset of Alzheimer's symptoms, possibly for several years. So again, Gary, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Now, one thing I have the advantage of, since I introduced you once before and now today, is I think one of the centers you directed was back 2 years ago called the Center for Aging, and now it's called the Center for Longevity.
Well, we wanted to give it an upbeat name.
I think that's right.
We found that we got pushback when we talked about aging. Nobody wants to age, but the idea of advancing healthy longevity is very appealing to people, and it gives a very positive message, which is what the Alzheimer's Prevention Program does, is it empowers people to take control of their brain health. The science tells us that genetics is not the only factor when it comes to preventing Alzheimer's disease or our risk for Alzheimer's disease. In fact, the MacArthur study of successful aging found that only a third of what determines our health as we age comes from our inheritance. That means that two-thirds is non-genetic, and a lot of that is under our control and depends on lifestyle choices we make every day.
Right, and probably those that we were treated to or distracted from when we were children, how we carry that forward, and then the role modeling that we provide for our own families and friends, right?
That's correct.
The book that you've written here now, might want to give our listeners again, the book is called The Alzheimer's Prevention Program, Keep Your Brain Healthy for the Rest of Your Life. I have to compliment you, Gary, the amount of personal references you make throughout it. The one that caught my attention in particular was your Grammy, who you were testing whether or not you thought she might be losing it a bit, and she basically turned to you and said, "Would you shut up, Gary?"
Yeah. Well, she passed the test right there.
And she was 104 when that conversation transpired, right?
That was actually Gigi's grandmother.
Gigi's grandmother.
And she was quite interesting because she lived the brain-healthy lifestyle. She had no elevator in her apartment, so she was getting lots of physical exercise going up and down the stairs. She was into everybody's business in the family, so it showed that she was socially very active. And that's another predictor of brain health, is not being a loner. Now, we have in the Alzheimer's Prevention Program detailed what we all can do. thanks to Gigi's wonderful writing, it's clear that there's a connection between our behaviors and our brain health. And that's important, because when people understand that connection, they're much more likely to follow the brain healthy lifestyle program. And it involves four critical areas.
Yes, please. Let's walk through those four.
Physical exercise, mental exercise, stress management, and diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I say physical exercise first because I think the most compelling scientific evidence tells us about this connection. And you do not have to become a triathlete to protect your brain from Alzheimer's. The studies indicate that brisk walking, just 20, 30 minutes a day, will lower your risk for developing the disease. It pumps oxygen and nutrients to your brain cells so they sprout connections and talk to each other more effectively. And if you don't like walking, or if you have bad knees or back problems, you can bicycle, you can swim. Anything that gets your heart pumping more effectively to the brain will protect your brain health.
And in fact, haven't there been tremendous studies that are done showing couples or older people that choose to dance once a week, that dancing, because it's not just the physical motion, but it's the emotional sense of the music, it's uplifting, and also it's social, that those couples that dance together also can, you know, enjoy that positive aging process more.
Dancing is a tremendous exercise, because it not only helps pump blood to your brain, it also gets your brain working, figuring mm-hmm. out all the different moves that you're supposed to be doing, and it's very social, so that's an important exercise. We talk about a lot of different approaches in the book on how you can improve your brain health. In fact, you mentioned dancing. We even mentioned shopping, one of my wife's favorites.
Ooh, that's now we got our listener. Our ladies, people are paying attention now. So
well,
shopping is good for my brain, right?
Well, not so much online, but
right,
if you
exactly.
go to the mall, you're walking around, so you're getting some physical exercise. You're negotiating prices
you
and
bet.
Trying to figure
yep.
out what's 30% off of mm-hmm. this price. You're interacting with people. The only issue about shopping is when you see your credit card return, it may cause stress.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, so now we have to work on that other side of the stress. So maybe so long as you're carrying cash with you, it's a free deal, right? But
that's
it's
right.
the credit card that hides the process. Well, and you know, that's an interesting, just how we jokingly reference those two things, dancing and shopping. The point here is that there's, as you said, these four areas you want to try to do in concert. And my guess is the more you capitalize on all four together, it's easier, there's a lot more fun involved, and it can be then natural and sustainable for you.
And I'm very proud of this book, because we really gave some thought to how to help people change. I mean, mm-hmm. you and I can talk about how great it is to do all these things, and people may get inspired, but after a few days, they may go back to their usual routine. And so in the Alzheimer's Prevention Program, we have a 7-day jumpstart program that tells people what they can eat for breakfast, lunch, dinner throughout the 7 days. It has the exercises throughout the day, and they build on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes simple assessment tools so you can see your improvement. And that inspires people and motivates them to continue the brain-healthy lifestyle for the long haul, because the science tells us that's what we need to do to truly delay the onset of symptoms. Now, we're not guaranteeing that you'll never get Alzheimer's disease. Age is the greatest risk factor, and there's some debate as to whether we'd all get it if we live long enough.
Mm-hmm, right.
But the studies tell us that if you follow the Alzheimer's prevention strategies, you may be able to delay onset of symptoms 2, 3, 4 more years. And for many people, that means never getting the symptoms in their lifetime, which is about as close to a cure as we have today.
Isn't that true? In fact, you know, just in this last couple of weeks, there's been a lot in the media, you know, research breakthroughs that are starting to bubble up with, granted, you know, medication treatments and the like for, you know, animals and laboratories. But those are all precursors, of course, in your field of what's yet to come.
The research is exciting, and our group at UCLA is engaged in a lot of studies, but we're not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the Alzheimer's Prevention Program helps people buy some time while we're waiting for science to catch up.
But the other piece of it is the things you've outlined. I mean, let's just talk about dancing, or let's talk about exercise. That's also things, you know, that are necessary for us to lead a healthy life in general, whether it be Alzheimer's related or not. I think, you know, particularly you put a very nice section in your book about diet and the use of natural supplements and antioxidants. Could you touch on that briefly?
A diet involves trying to control weight. That's a big problem worldwide. Obesity and overweight is epidemic, and we know it increases risk for Alzheimer's. The diet also includes antioxidant fruits and vegetables that protect our brain cells from the wear and tear of aging. It emphasizes omega-3 fats from nuts and fish. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to eat fish, you have to grill it. Fried fish doesn't count.
Yeah, there you just take two steps backwards there. But every now and then when I go down south, I'm just going to have the catfish fried, though. But
well, I think that's another thing that the program emphasizes moderation.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
We know we're going to have cheat eats, and that's fine. That's part of being human. But it allows us to get back into the everyday healthy brain habits so we don't feel so guilty and we can kind of move forward with our program.
The other thing that must be exciting for both you and Gigi, of course, is to see the convergence of the multiple medical fields now that are, you know, more collaborating and intersecting than perhaps in the past, to understand the play for. You know, for example, you're involved in neuroscience and human behavior, but also crossing over to lifeline commitments in strength training and nutrition.
Well, to me, it's very exciting to combine these different approaches. We do it at UCLA in our research studies. We have lifestyle programs that we're testing out in the laboratory. And in writing for the general public, to translate all this new science into practical strategies that have meaning in people's lives. And one of the things that's very gratifying is how quickly Alzheimer's prevention strategies help people, particularly when they learn the memory techniques that we teach. I mean, we all know about the brain games and trying to cross-train the brain, and it's possible that doing Sudoku and crossword puzzles may lower your risk for Alzheimer's, but it's not absolutely certain. We still recommend those approaches, mm-hmm. and we try to help people train different parts of their brain. Our studies show that it really does activate neural circuits when we do that. But probably even more importantly are the memory exercises that we've developed to help with the common everyday memory challenges, remembering names and faces, where you put things, remembering to remember so you don't
right.
leave the house without your phone,
mm-hmm.
or the tip of the tongue problem where you think you should know a word, it's on the tip of your tongue, but it doesn't roll off.
And some of those memory exercises, I mean, literally, I know I've got one in front of me where you've got a list of words that you say, you know, after a minute of studying them, put down the paper, reset the timer for 10 minutes, and then see how many you can remember.
Right. We teach a basic exercise, look, snap, connect. Look is a reminder to focus attention. The biggest reason we don't remember is we're simply not paying attention.
We're
not concentrating. We can build our abilities in that area. Snap is a reminder to create mental snapshots of what you want to remember. Our brains are hardwired to remember visually quite well. And finally, connect is a way of linking up those mental snapshots so they have meaning. If something is meaningful, it's more memorable. So let's say I'm running out of the house and I've got to remember to get eggs and stamps. I might visualize a big egg in my hand with a stamp
on it. Exactly, yeah.
And then to even make it better, I drop the egg, it smashes on my shoe, and I remember, oh yes, I've got to go pick up my shoes at the shoe store.
Mm-hmm. Interesting techniques. In fact, you know, the Dale Carnegie for years taught people that the whole ability to remember people's names is when you're first introducing them, picture them in a really silly costume that alliterates something close to their name, right?
Similar kinds of techniques that have been around for thousands of years since the Roman orators tried to remember the beats in their speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've done in the Alzheimer's prevention program is make it easy, integrate it with physical exercise, stress management techniques. So there's a synergy in the different strategies. And people who start using the program really feel empowered.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to lose weight. They have more mastery of their everyday memory skills, they're sleeping better, and they feel more upbeat.
Make that connection for us, if you would, to sleep, because I know that's in this world, I mean, you're prior book that we talked about, iBrain, with all the technology that's hitting us, you know, how do we turn off all that sensory stuff we get so that we really can sleep and recover and rest?
It's critically important to get a good night's sleep. And in fact, we find that if people sleep well, they have a better handle on their inflammation in their body. Sleep is an anti-inflammatory mechanism, and that's critically important because we're thinking that Alzheimer's disease may result from chronic inflammation where our cells attack the brain cells. They shouldn't be doing that, but they do, and eating omega-3 fats, getting a good night's sleep, getting some aerobic or cardiovascular conditioning, these are all anti-inflammatory strategies. And in the book, we give some practical strategies to get a good night's sleep. Certainly, if you're exercising more, you're going to sleep better. And we need to turn off all those gadgets that distract us and allow ourselves to settle down and sleep, hopefully without medication.
Yeah, in fact, we featured the author, David Milgram, whose pseudonym is Android, and he wrote the book Goodnight iPad, which was a takeoff on Goodnight Moon.
Yeah.
That very same way. Now, take me back. You said Alzheimer's may be due to inflammation.
We actually, the first studies connecting this went back to the Baltimore longitudinal investigations, where they found that people who took anti-inflammatory drugs for two or more years had a lower risk for developing Alzheimer's disease.
Interesting.
But the studies testing anti-inflammatory drugs in a controlled way, where we give one group of people the drug and another group a placebo inactive pill, have shown mixed results.
Mm-hmm.
One finding is that in middle-aged people who just have mild memory complaints, the drugs may be helpful with memory. But once somebody has a lot of amyloid plaque in the brain from Alzheimer's disease, the drugs may actually accelerate decline. So timing of different treatments is critically important, and anti-inflammatory drugs have lots of side effects, and we don't generally recommend them to protect the brain. Although if you have arthritis or joint pain and your doctor's prescribing them, it may be protecting your brain. We're looking for safer approaches. For example, we're now studying curcumin, which is in turmeric and curried foods.
Right, in curried foods, yeah.
In India, there's a lower rate of Alzheimer's disease, perhaps because they're eating those curried foods. But also, our scientists have found that curcumin is a potent anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. It even seems to attack those amyloid plaques in the brain that characterize Alzheimer's disease. So the FDA just gave us permission to test a high-potency form of curcumin in people who don't have Alzheimer's and see if it prevents the disease and delays the onset of accumulation of these amyloid plaques.
Well, Gary, do you, of course, we're sitting here interviewing you from Tucson, of course, which is a very center for alternative medicine and integrative medicine approaches. You know, your field in general, the challenge that faces going forward, do you feel there's a greater receptivity now to see integrative medicine and solutions that are, as you said, here's related to a spice that's naturally formed versus the classic, here's a prescription for another statin to deal with your high cholesterol, that we're kind of trying to cross over some of those thresholds and inform, because there's so much those of you in the medical community have to cope with right now with so much more data and insights coming your way?
We're clearly moving in that direction. There's a national institute that looks at complementary and alternative approaches in research. I know in our own UCLA Medical Center, we have new kinds of alternative approaches where we're using massage, meditation. We're studying Tai Chi. And in fact, our scientists at the Semmel Institute have found that Tai Chi not only helps with mental focus and relaxation, but also seems to help with inflammation.
Absolutely.
Same issue that we're talking about. So I think we're moving in the right direction. And certainly in our clinics at the UCLA Longevity Center, we use complementary approaches. Mm-hmm. We may have somebody with mild Alzheimer's disease on a medication for their memory, but at the same time, we apply the Alzheimer prevention strategies, and people seem to do better.
You know, that almost comes back to the fundamentals, for example, of a Montessori education that was actually developed first to deal with autistic children in Italy, and then lo and behold, you can mainstream those same techniques to help speed up learning by an alternative approach. So really in your book, of course, and for our listeners, we're speaking with Dr. Gary Small from UCLA. His book with his wife, Gigi Vorgan, is The Alzheimer's Prevention Program, Keep Your Brain Healthy for the Rest of Your Life. This isn't to say that conventional or pharmacological approaches aren't necessary, but I think what you stress in the book is to be informed and to bring your whole story and questions to your doctors, right?
It's critical that we become informed today. There's so much information out there, and frankly, it's confusing. I mean, one day they tell us, take vitamin E.
Right.
Next day they tell us, don't.
Right.
So I think that's really what motivated us to write this book, to inform people about the new science, put it in perspective, and offer them something practical to take away where they can apply it to their everyday life.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, the book was just released, and it's 2011, so what's been the reaction so far?
The reaction has been tremendous. We're already in our third printing,
mm-hmm.
and we're selling out at our events, and it's really touching people in a place where they need to understand what's going on. There are so many families who are affected by this disease, and we find that family members of Alzheimer victims are very interested in this book, and also anybody who's aging, who notices their age-related memory changes, and that starts to happen in our 40s. So there's a huge audience, and they're really appreciative of the information we're getting out there.
Well, and I think, like you said, it's going to happen to everybody in due time as our lives shift, our emotional states. And I think, though, the fact you tie this back also so solidly to stress reduction. So my question is, you know, a lot of this is societal driven. It's the culture. It's the Western way of life. You know, that if we're not doing, then, gee, you're not maximizing the time on the planet, so on and so forth. Do you find the kind of people you've interacted with now with the debut of this book are also trying to cope with that challenge as well, really shifting our whole thought about what it means to, quote, be successful or be happy?
I think we're all struggling with this. We have all these wonderful technologies, but they seem to run our lives rather than us gaining control of them. And we need to step back. We need to gain wisdom from lots of different approaches. And when people start doing that, they feel like they're in control. This is really a way to empower ourselves and to add productive, fulfilling years to our lives.
Mm-hmm. Well said. So tell me, what have been the surprises since the book has come out that the two of you said, gee, we weren't expecting that? And do you feel, having published this book, that it's pulling either or both of you in new directions?
I think the surprise to me is how it people respond so positively.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always surprised when people listen to what I have to say. and even though it's, you know, I've lived this and breathed this my entire life. I spent my entire professional career trying to come up with new approaches to detecting and treating Alzheimer's. I've taken care of thousands of patients and family members. And I've seen it in my own family.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand personally the anguish, the emotional anguish in experiencing this disease. But the surprise is that it actually works. With the gifted writing of my wife, when she can translate my science into a language that really touches people, I think that is very gratifying.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations with that. Again, for our listeners, I highly commend Dr. Gary Small and Gigi Vorgan's book, The Alzheimer's Prevention Program, Keep Your Brain Healthy for the Rest of Your Life. Gary, they can get a copy of it through Longevity.
Any local bookstore, you can get it online on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the Indies. And you can also go to my book website, drgarysmall.com, drgarysmall.com.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to look forward, who knows, 2 years from now what the next book's going to be about, but we'll have you a three-time guest and then some. Thank you so much for joining us today, Gary.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
You bet. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.